Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m., Payne and Pendergast. Sean Pendergast is me. Seth Payne is him. Hello, my friend. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to, let's see, full crowds at Minute Maid Park.
Oh, yeah.
The next time we come back.
Yeah, that came out late yesterday. I don't know. You may have just surprised some people because it came out kind of late yesterday afternoon.
Everything's opening up all over the place.
I guess
probably the biggest indicator for me yesterday was the fact that New York opened up, pretty much left. I think the whole state left it up to the discretion of businesses, individual businesses.
I was too busy celebrating the Minute Maid Park news to focus on New York.
There were two surprises. One was that the other one was, I guess, because the state of New York, which, you know, was kind of first in, probably you'd assume last out on all of this. They opened it up. But, yeah, Minute Maid Park is going to be full capacity.
100%.
I'm a little there's part of me where part of me is just checked out on any of the political discussion about any of this,
right.
You know. And I just look, all right, whichever municipalities are going to do whatever they do on it, and just I'm just going to – am I supposed to wear a mask or not? But the part of it that I think both sides of the aisle or the argument can agree on is – nobody really trusts this honor system deal we got going, right?
No, like, no.
Like I keep seeing where, hey, as long as you're fully vaccinated,
right,
you don't have to worry about wearing a mask. And I keep looking for the fine print where you're going to have to show proof of vaccination.
Yeah, what do you do? Wear one of those you know, like those stickers that say, hello, my name is? Do you wear like
one of those?
Hello, I'm vaccinated.
I mean, some people care about it, some people won't. Yeah. Whatever, I'm not trying to get into that debate other than to point out, I don't think we can really trust the honor system.
No, not in this case. Not in this case. But Seth, all I care about is when you and I go to the game next Tuesday. We're going to the Dodger game next Tuesday, right?
I think so.
Yes.
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
Sorry. I asked if you and Amy wanted to go.
Yeah.
And I didn't actually follow up on it. I was just asking the question. Hey, Sean, do you want to go to the moon? That doesn't mean I'm inviting you onto a SpaceX rocket.
Fair enough.
Okay?
Yeah, going to an Astros game and going to the moon. But yeah, if you haven't heard the full news, 100% capacity at Minute Maid Park starting on Tuesday with the Dodgers series. Pretty fun slew of games coming up at Minute Maid, man. Two against the Dodgers, three against the Padres, and then four against the Red Sox. That's a hell of a homestand, man.
Man.
That's fun.
Yeah, how about that, how things have changed between COVID and the fact that the Padres are relevant in the last
two years. It's weird, man. What
so
a
many
world.
Things have changed in our life. Yeah, stuff you could have predicted.
What a world.
At any given time, Fernando Tatis either has COVID or a torn labrum or something. But he might be here in all his glory. We're not sure.
Okay, obviously it helps the Astros win games if Fernando Tatis is not in the lineup. Would you rather he be in the lineup, though, so if you happen to go to one of those games, you get to see Fernando Tatis Jr., the future of baseball, in person?
Yes, give it to me. I need all the star power. I need all of the things that are going to make baseball more relevant in the minds of the youth.
Okay.
I need some youngster from Humble to despise Fernando Tatis.
That's good.
For no other reason than that he's a good baseball player. Mm-hmm. Like I need that. And he's a bright, shiny object.
Yeah.
I need that in my life. That would make me feel good about America.
Yeah, yes. $340 million over 14 years. That is shortstop money right there. By the way, Seth, that play you were talking about with Carlos Correa yesterday.
You had missed it because you were doing radio
on
Sunday afternoon.
CBS show, so I missed it. And you linked the video in the rundown, and I wound up watching that thing like 25 times in a row.
Sean is talking about the double play where the ball was hit hard up the middle. It went through the second base umpire's legs where Jose Altuve was waiting for it, as if he was guided by extrasensory perception.
Mm-hmm.
He tossed the ball to Carlos Correa, who was on a dead sprint across second base as he caught it, touched his foot, and then off of his left foot, well, still moving to his left, just pinpointed it to first base for a double play.
Fired a BB to first base. You couldn't have described it any better yesterday when you said it was a Mahomes throw. It totally was.
Yeah.
It was a Mahomes throw. It was And boy, man, it just gets me thinking. I know we get frustrated with Carlos's bat, but my God, like how many runs does he save? How many rallies does he squelch with that right arm of his, man? And just his ability to get to balls. He is something else defensively.
And he also, as one of our listeners pointed out and reminded me, I'm glad because I hadn't taken the note during the game, but Brandy noticed it. There was another key moment in that game where there could have been an easy double play if Correa had given his typical effort running to first.
Yes.
But he did not. He actually hoofed it out. And,
nice of him.
And, yeah, extended a rally.
So we've also got the Astros didn't play last night, but there's plenty of Astros news. We mentioned the stadium opening back up to full capacity. No masks if you're vaccinated. Honor system, people. Framber Valdez had his rehab start yesterday. It did not go well the first inning, but he settled down. And when I say it didn't go well the first inning, it really didn't go well the first inning. His first inning back on a rehab stint from a broken finger, Seth, Framber Valdez, 25 pitches, 6 hits, 5 runs. Only one of the runs was earned, but wow,
right.
six hits in the first inning. He did settle down. That was all he gave up. He pitched 2 more scoreless innings after that. I'm not going to get too worked up over a bad first inning coming back. I'm more focused on the 2 innings after that, and that Framber Valdez is coming back imminently for the Astros, it would seem.
Yeah, that's don't worry about 2 things in baseball: spring training results and rehab assignment results.
Yeah.
Guys are working on stuff. I do want to go. I'd like to go back. I wonder if I can find that on YouTube or something. I'd like to watch that. It sounds like a comedy of errors in that first inning. With 6 runs, but only 1 earned.
Berman's got some videos posted of Framber's start. I didn't watch the videos to know what all is in. You know, he posts them in 30 and 45 second bursts. I'm guessing not all 5 runs wound up in that video.
I'm thinking what I might want to do if we're able to go to the Dodgers game on Tuesday. I want to go out and watch a game at Sugarland on Sunday or Monday. I gotta take advantage of this brave new world where the AAA affiliate is right down the road.
Yeah,
it's really
dude,
incredible.
That's exciting. Like when I was really disappointed when they announced that Framber and Odorizzi is doing his rehab start today, and I'm like, oh, I'm pumped. Oh, they're in Round Rock. They're on the road.
Yeah.
But this is a cool little wrinkle. When guys get sent down to do these rehab starts, or guys, if everyday players get hurt and they're doing a rehab stint down there, to be able to just jump on 59 and drive 15 minutes and be able to go watch anyways on a Friday or Saturday night, drink some cheap beer, and watch guys who are going to be on the Astros pretty soon is pretty damn cool. But if these were home games, how much fun would that be just to go, you know what, let's just take a night and drive down there on a Tuesday night and go see how Framber's doing.
It's a whole lot easier than hopping on a Southwest flight to Fresno.
Yeah,
so
yes, and a
it's
whole
one
lot
of the
more
dumbest
pleasant.
Things. I guess one of the maybe good things or positive benefits of COVID was that it made Major League Baseball address its minor league system. And now the Major League Baseball does a whole lot of things to shaft the minor leaguers, and it's going to suck for some of the smaller affiliates and franchises are going to be squeezed out. But this whole, the longstanding tradition of having your affiliates out thousands of miles away from your home city just never made any sense to me at all.
I remember when I became a baseball fan, my first team I really loved was the Pirates in the late 70s. I was born in Pittsburgh, so I really liked the Pittsburgh teams growing up. And I was a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates when I first became a baseball fan in the late 70s, and I was learning about what the minor league system was and everything. And they called somebody up from Portland, the AAA affiliate in Portland, and I'm saying to my dad, Portland, Oregon? He's like, yeah. I'm like, why is there minor league affiliate? Why isn't it in like Beaver Falls or something, like an hour from Pittsburgh? Portland, Oregon, what the hell?
I mean, part of it was back when, you know, everybody was on their own and just trying to scrape by and make a living.
Yeah.
There wasn't the money involved that there is now.
We're going to go, when Amy and I go on our road trip in July, we're going to, on our way back from the East Coast, we're stopping in Asheville, North Carolina to go check out the Astros A-ball team.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be really cool.
Yeah.
That's a destination, too. Asheville is like a crunchy little granola town.
It is?
I've heard it called like the Boulder of the East.
Are you serious?
So, yeah. Oh, you didn't know that?
No, I just want to go to a minor league town and get drunk with locals.
No. Brandy went to go there for a roller derby event once, and she loved it.
Really?
She's been agitating to get a place in Asheville forever, yeah.
No kidding. Listen.
Once Apple stops changing all its charger adapters, maybe we'll be able to afford a little cabin in Asheville, all right? But for now, I'm just trying to keep up with the Apple upgrades.
That was the off-air airing of the grievances before the show. Seth's mad that the USB port is getting obsoleted.
I'm furious. We just installed a bunch of outlets earlier this year with USB ports in it. And now, like, oh, by the way, no, those are all obsolete.
Might as well be living in Italy now.
Steve Jobs is wherever the hell he is right now, just like with his little greedy little look on his face, rubbing his hands together, thinking about all the money that's coming to the heirs that he already disowned.
They'll put an adapter together. They'll make an adapter for it, and it'll only cost $99, and it'll last at least 5 months before it burns out. You'll be fine.
So anyway, Asheville, yes, delightful place.
Now I'm even more fired up for my trip. Awesome. All right, so speaking of the South, David Culley used a Southern term. I've lived in the South my entire life. This is at his press conference on Saturday. I had never heard this term before. Do I need to get out more? We'll hear from the Texans head coach next. All right, David Culley met with the media on Saturday. And he talked about each of the rookies, and he was effusive in his praise. He likes rookies better than Bill O'Brien likes rookies. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that, at least at press conferences he does. Here's what he had to say about...
He likes them young, Sean.
Easy.
What? I didn't say a damn thing. Yeah, he likes his football players young.
He does. He does. Yeah. It's true. Inside linebacker Garrett Wallow from TCU. Here was David Culley's assessment of Garrett Wallow. He used a phrase that I had never heard before until David Culley dropped it. Here's the assessment of the rookie linebacker.
Garrett Wallow, loved him. Our people love what he's all about, you know. I mean, I'm talking about he's a football player. I mean, he is a flat-out football-playing Jesse, I'd like to say. You know, old term from the South. You've heard that term before, you know, and we love that about him. And then.
All right. So
that was he was talking to our guy, Brandon Scott, who grew up in Houston.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask Brandon if he had ever heard it before.
Football playing
or if
Jesse.
Was he shaking his head yes or no?
I've lived in the South since 1994 for most of that, for about 95% of that time. I've never heard the phrase football playing Jesse before. Have you heard it before?
I don't know. It's one of those things where in talking about football playing Jesse with you a little bit, I'm starting to think I've heard it before, but now I don't know if it's just because we've talked about it or I heard it from David Culley on Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'm going to tell you that much. I don't like it one bit. Somebody called me, oh, wow, you are a football playing Jesse. I'd be like, okay, that's great. Thanks for the compliment, but never call me that again.
Playing Jesse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what if the Jesse is a very dainty female? Like Jesse Watt is a DJ for one of our sister stations down the hall. Like, what if that's what he, and she's a delightful person, but I'm guessing she's not a great inside linebacker. What if that's what he was saying about, well, he's a football playing Jesse. He should be spinning the hits over on Mix right now.
What if it's like he's Jesse James, like he's a football playing Jesse?
Now
like
that'd
he
be...
just takes what he wants and he doesn't ask for forgiveness.
See, now that's pretty badass. I think it all depends on which Jesse it is, what it comes down to. Who are the most badass Jessies of all time?
I looked into this a little bit, and probably spent a little too much time on this than I should have. Some guy in Kentucky actually wrote an article about it. And he honestly did kind of a...
Hang on.
Yeah.
You Googled football playing Jesse and some guy had written an article about the phrase?
Yeah, Sean. I mean, and look, I guess I had missed it the first time around in the Jackson Breathitt County Times Voice out of Kentucky. But that's where this guy had written his article.
Because you have that site bookmarked and you go there every day. It's weird that you would have missed that article.
Yeah, the Jackson Breathitt Duo County region. Right. Yes. Right. That's what I was doing.
What did you 36, learn?
One of our listeners, by the way, says 36 years old, born and raised in Houston, never heard that term before.
Okay, gotcha. So, yeah. I'm going to put a Twitter poll out about football playing Jesse.
So football playing Jesse, I've never heard it before. Mark Schlereth has used it a couple times.
Okay.
And this guy who's never going to make it out of the Jackson Breathitt Gazette, by the way, because he says he looked for it and found it a couple places where a couple different guys had used it. But he only went back as far as 2019 when Schlereth had said it in 2019 about some player. I found an instance where in 2013 Schlereth said, "Lynch is a football-playing Jesse. Carry on." That was 2013, so I have no idea which Lynch. Who do you have been talking about in 2013?
A Lynch?
Yeah.
2013. Boy, not Paxton Lynch, huh? That was a few years before Paxton Lynch. Maybe John Lynch? I don't know.
Yeah, in 2013, he was retired by then.
Yeah, right? I don't know, but maybe he was making a Hall of Fame case for him.
Yeah, maybe that was the 2008 he retired in 2008. So yeah, that would have been 2013.
Yeah, when he's first on the ballot.
Yeah. Okay.
That could be.
So anyway, I've never heard it before. The other expression that I don't like that I've heard a whole bunch before is it's about the Jimmys and Joes, not the X's and O's.
Oh, see, I'd heard that one before. That's a Lou Holtz one.
I like the sentiment, but I don't like any. I guess I don't like whenever they use a name. Kind of like I don't like Billy O'Brien when they would call Billy. I felt like it was a little bit disrespectful when they would call Billy O'Brien Billy O'Brien. You call him William, or you call him Bill, or you call him nothing at all.
I've thought about that with my son. My son's name is Sammy. Does at some point Sammy need to transition over to Sam when he starts getting into the? Yeah, out there in the workforce someday?
Yeah, unless he goes into racketeering or something.
Okay, Right. Like he becomes like Sosa. Sammy. Like he's like Sammy two times or something like that. You know?
Yeah, and it's not like now anybody out there that's named Sammy or something like that. It's not like I personally don't like it used in a generic way.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't like talking about like, hey, this Jimmy or that. I just don't like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I got it. He's going to have to figure that out. Maybe he was
Reggie McKenzie in 2017 said it about Shalom Luani, who, when this article was written in 2020, Shalom Luani was actually on the Houston Texans, apparently.
Really?
I remember the days of Shalom Luani.
What is your favorite Shalom Luani?
I remember watching him one day in minicamp and saying, that there is a football playing Jesse.
Yeah, there you go.
Just Jess.
Hey, Jess. There you go.
And then, okay, Sean, one more above the rabbit hole that I went down.
Right.
This article claims that, a Jesse back in the 1800s meant somebody who vigorously pursued an activity about which he was a Jesse. It was akin to somebody going nuts with an activity or being fanatical about that particular undertaking. Okay. So that's a Jesse. Like, that guy just goes hard all the time. You know what? What's his name? John Henry probably would have been a Jesse
at
railroading. Like, he's just going at it. And then, so they're saying that it was likely a biblical reference to the father of King David.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. I looked up the father of King David because I don't remember it from Sunday school. And all that's written about him in the Bible is like, yeah, he had eight kids and one of them was King David.
I just hope that someday that our boss describes me as a sports-talking Jesse. That's the goal.
That's Sean, Pendergast is a sports-talking Jesse.
A sports-talking, you know what they say in the South, he is a sports-talking, hot-taking Jesse. That's what he is.
We'll put that on the, which player was he talking about?
Garrett Wallow.
Okay.
The ultimate football playing Jesse.
You know what?
He is a football playing Jesse.
That was ultimately my question. Was he accurate on the assessment of Garrett Wallow? I think from the film I've seen, he is a football playing Jesse for sure.
Sideline to sideline, plays like he loves the game, all that stuff. Yeah. That's a football playing Jesse.
Amen.
Yeah, I guess we could just start talking about that. Which Astros are Jesse's? Some baseball playing Jesse's?
Alex Bregman is a baseball playing Jesse.
He's a baseball playing Jesse, whereas Carlos Correa, I would not describe him as a baseball playing Jesse. Jesse.
Indeed, I would not. You've got to run hard to first base to be a baseball playing Jesse. Absolutely. Mm. All right.
So it's weird. I would describe Altuve as a baseball playing Jesse. But ironic. Now, even though Michael Brantley embodies everything that you want in a professional hitter, I wouldn't call him a Jesse because he doesn't seem fanatical about it.
There needs to be a bit of fanaticism bordering on anger, I think, almost.
You got to be a little psychotic,
yes.
Whereas Brantley seems calm, cool, and collected all the time.
Text in your Jessies here. Russell Westbrook, basketball-playing Jesse, I would say.
Yes.
Very intense, and he plays tonight in a play-in game.
Adult film star Jesse's not named Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Text him in.
Yes, yes. 713-572-4610. Is
male
this,
and female. We're not sexist.
Is this bet in Vegas basically just a question about the Texans? That's next. We're going to see a lot of this over the next several months leading up to next year's draft. But there's already a bet out that you can put some action down on, Seth. The odds on who will be selected number one overall in the 2022 NFL draft. And I guess my question is, given the mock drafts that we've seen, given the power rankings that we've seen, given the fact that the Texans have the longest odds on the board, they're underdogs in all 17 of their games next year, as you and I talked about, I think, in this segment yesterday. Is this basically just not a question of who are the Texans taking first overall in the draft next year?
Yeah, but that's a fool's errand, isn't it? Because for the longest time, the Dolphins are going to have to tank if they want to get Tua Tagovailoa. That's a perfect example of how you can't predict these things a year out. Because the Dolphins, everybody knew the Dolphins were going to be the worst team in the league, and everybody knew that they were going to select Tua Tagovailoa with the number one overall selection in the draft. Lo and behold, they end up getting their guy while not being the worst team in the league by a long shot because the college football scene changes over the course of a year or two. So, but if people are gambling on it, yeah, I think that's what they're probably thinking right now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's the Texans or the Detroit Lions. Those are the two that are way out in front of everybody right now as the worst team in football per the odds makers next year.
Yeah, and I guess maybe I've got this weird need to stick up for Jared Goff for some reason. Something I've never felt before. I don't know why I feel it.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I know it's really dumb. I'm like, hey, they got Jared Goff. You know who he is? Yeah. So the odds on favorite at this point. I was surprised to see that Spencer Rattler is so heavily favored to be the number one overall selection.
He's 5-4 to be the number. Yeah. So he's a little above even money to be the first overall pick. Just to give you some context, second on the board, and I've seen this guy mocked to the Texans a few times, Kayvon Thibodeau, the edge rusher from Oregon. He's 11-4. So you're right. That is a at this juncture, before there's even, you know, the steam isn't even gone on spring ball yet. You know what I mean? The body is still warm on spring football and you know, the crimson and cream game or whatever they play at OU. And Spencer Rattler is this far out in front. Seth, Spencer Rattler has done some things where he's obviously been very impressive, and physical tool-wise, he's excellent.
Yeah.
He's got a great arm. At this point, if you're drafting Spencer Rattler, you're drafting Lincoln Riley as much as you are Spencer Rattler, right?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is that the fact that they've got now they've got a recent history of sending guys off to be number one overall picks. I think if you look at it, even if you're not trying to evaluate the actual football players themselves, you look at how is a guy regarded right now? If he does take some steps forward with his development, show a little bit better judgment at times, maybe tweaks his mechanics a little bit, then Spencer Rattler's going to have a really successful season and be very productive on a really good football team. All those things that make scouts feel more comfortable drafting a guy. And it's easy to project that. So it makes the most sense that compared to a lot of other guys that he's the likeliest to be a number one overall pick.
If Spencer Rattler is the equivalent of a Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield amalgam of what they've been so far. Baker Mayfield's got 3 seasons in the books. He finally got to the, I say finally, I mean, Cleveland had been to the playoffs in 2 decades. He got there in 3 seasons. I mean, he may as well have got there in 1 week compared to Cleveland's history. But Baker Mayfield is a playoff quarterback now. Kyler Murray seems to be trending in that direction. Certainly a very exciting player, both of them, really. if Spencer Rattler is the equivalent of a Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield amalgam, Seth, if he's of that ilk, is he worth the number one overall pick to the Texans? Would you basically take a Mayfield Murray combo platter in Spencer Rattler right now? If that's what he is.
Yeah, but I don't like get as stressed out about this stuff as other people do. I think you got to take your swing at it. You can't predict how anybody's actually going to do in the NFL. It's all an educated guess, and sometimes not even that educated. But you know, Pat Mahomes. It's so easy to look back on right now and say, "Well, wow, look, it's obvious that he was going to be this awesome." Like, no. Pat Mahomes had some serious issues and question marks. What's it? Yeah,
exactly. Nine teams passed on him,
and people weren't acting like it was the dumbest thing in the world. Now, a lot of people did. There were people that had Pat Mahomes above Trubisky, obviously, and whatnot. But largely, there were enough questions about Pat Mahomes that it wasn't a foregone conclusion that he was going to be who he ended up becoming.
Yeah.
And likewise, we've seen every damn year, pretty much, there's a guy taken in the top three that ends up being a huge disappointment. But yeah, given the physical tools, given the success in college, and that by the time you end up having even more of a book on him, then I would imagine that a lot of teams would feel good about taking Spencer Rattler first overall.
Yeah, Seth, if he smooths out his decision-making, I mean, that's what got him. When he got in trouble last year, that's what got him in trouble, was making poor decisions, but he got better as the season went on. If he smooths that over this year, then there's a good chance he is going to be the number one overall pick, just based on history with OU and Lincoln Riley quarterbacks.
And he's got that ability to create outside the pocket, and all those things that right now you look at some of the old school quarterbacks that have strong and accurate arms, but that can't move all that well. And it's like you're looking at – it's like you're buying last year's model. You know, it's like you're buying – there's just not that excitement about them from NFL teams because you know that they can only do so much. You're buying last year's model when that model has been discontinued.
Mm-hmm.
There's a brand new body style. There's a better performing engine. And like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going back to the same old, but I got a good deal on it. Okay, great. So I get it. Especially for young – when you want younger quarterbacks on bad teams, because the guys selecting quarterbacks typically are going to bad teams, if you want them to produce immediately, it's hard to take a statue and think, oh, yeah, we're going to surround him with all the things he needs to succeed in the NFL right away.
Yes. All right, so Spencer Rattler is the favorite, and a fairly, at this juncture, as Seth pointed out, a fairly heavy favorite, 5-4. Kayvon Thibodeau of Oregon, 11-4. The next four names on the board are all quarterbacks. Sam Howell, North Carolina, who loses a ton of weapons off his team. Malik Willis, who is kind of a buzzy, off-the-radar guy, who we've got a few texters that are really in on him. A very mobile quarterback out of Liberty. So Hugh Freeze is his coach, Malik Willis. He's 8-1. Tyler Shuck, who is the Oregon transfer to Texas Tech, 10-1. We just had his head coach on a week or two ago, and he said a lot of great things about him. And then JT Daniels, who was with USC to start his career with Georgia, now 12-1. So five of the first six names are quarterbacks on here.
Yeah,
so
I'm mostly looking for the best punnable name for some kind of a tanking scenario or something.
Well, I hashtagged suck for Spencer and splatter for Rattler last week.
Splatter for Rattler?
I was a little drunk when I posted that one. I was just looking for anything that rhymed with Rattler, and splatter, you know, had the connotation of splattering against the wall and it ending poorly, or, you know, splattering on the side of the toilet bowl, things like that. You know,
you could get some really politically incorrect imagery with that, you know, people like tumbling off a bridge or something.
Right, right, right.
Kayvon Thibodeau. See, that damn Coach Thibodeau messes me up. Does Kayvon Thibodeau pronounce it like the Louisiana way?
Is it a soft TH or a hard TH? I don't know.
We'll just say it until I know otherwise, we'll just say Thibodeau.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of ways you could go with that. I mean, we'll have to enlist the help of our Cajun friends.
Yeah, well,
to give us some good stuff.
Or on any of these names, the text page 713-572-4610. We need some slogans for the Texans picking high in the draft next year.
Are we going to be, okay, are we as a show going to openly root for them to suck? so that they get one of these guys, or are we going to go? I don't know how people in Miami handled it when all of a sudden they actually started winning football games.
We're going to need to consult. It's been a while since I know people get uptight about the Texans not having made deep playoff runs and whatnot, but it's been a long time since we've gone into a season like this as a Texan fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like even in 2014 when they were picking first overall, we didn't go into 2013 thinking like, oh, you know, Downey for Clowney or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
it's
right.
You know, they were supposed to be a playoff team in 2013, and then Matt Schaub started throwing the ball to the other team a whole bunch. So it's been a while since we've been in this spot.
So
I don't really know what to do.
I wonder.
Throw in the towel for Hal. That just came in.
I guess the Rockets' experience this season was so weird because the first part of the season, you're just trying to figure out exactly what the hell was going to happen with James Harden.
Yeah.
And then after that, it felt like there was a lot of divisiveness amongst Rockets fans where some people after losses would be thrilled that any of the young guys looked good and yet you still lost, so you kept your stature. Where other people seem genuinely emotionally hurt by the Rockets playing poorly this year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be there with the Texans. I don't think I'm not going into this season with high expectations, and I want to see some of the younger guys do well, but I'm just not going to I can't see myself getting overly distraught over losing football games because they've done very little to actually field a competitive football team.
Yeah. Yeah. I will be rooting for them on Sundays. I'm not wired to root against my team. I know that sounds weird, and I know there's a bigger picture with all this. But maybe it'll test me this year. Maybe we get to week 12 and just silently I'm going, okay, I know what the greater good is here, but I'm not wired to root against my team, at least not right now.
And when I say they're not yielding a competitive football team, I think they've done things that show that they're not trying to go 0-17. So in football, it's not really clear to me yet that it's worth tanking to the level that it is in baseball and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't particularly get overly worked up about trying to get as high as possible with the draft picks. I think there's just more the balancing act isn't as high as it is in the NBA, where in the NBA, generally, outside the top five picks, sure, there's a Steph Curry, sure, there's a James Harden. Like, it's just that the vast bulk of your opportunity there is in the top five picks. It's not quite like that in football.
Well,
football, there's really good players to be found all throughout the top half of the draft.
No doubt, and you brought this up before, that there is something to be said about letting losing and accepting losing seeping into your locker room, having more long-term damage than five or six slots in a given draft.
In football, right. Yeah, especially in football compared to basketball and baseball.
Right.
Because I think it's more of a codependent sport.
Yep.
It's just harder for one or two individuals to make a huge difference immediately in a team's culture like you can in baseball or basketball.
All right, tell me what you think of these. These are coming in on the text page. Throw in the towel for Hal.
That's ooh, Sam, oh, that's Howell. A good one.
It's not bad.
That's a good one. I don't approve.
It's a little
I don't
long
approve
for
of the
hashtag.
Message.
Yeah.
Because again, but yeah, that's a really good one. Throwing the towel.
We're just Howell. Rating the slogan is all. We're not endorsing the approach. We're just
that's
rating
the slogan. Leader
in
the clubhouse so far.
Blow this for Slovis. That's pretty
that's
good.
A good one.
That's
too.
Pretty good. We got good listeners.
Yeah. All right. Blow this for Slovis.
Be weak for Malik.
I like that with a picture of like a Texans lady fan swooning, you know. It's got all kinds of extra meanings added on top of it.
Multiple people blow for Thibodeau.
Yeah,
that's not
it's a
bad.
Little it's a little crude, my friend, yeah. And but also I guess not quite as original somehow as what was the Slovis one? Blow this for Slovis.
Blow this for Slovis.
Yeah. And that doesn't even really rhyme either, but somehow
cares?
I like it that much. Yeah.
Someone says tank for Thibodeau, and this person's actual last name is Thibodeau, and he claims that Kayvon Thibodeau pronounces it with a hard T, so we'll go for that.
Okay.
Let's see. Letting go for Thibodeau, get rattled for Rattler. All right, so, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And Ocho is mad at us. Whoa, 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 Sean, do not disrespect Kyler Cole Murray by comparing him to Rattler. Wash your mouth out with chlorine, sir. That is our resident Arizona Cardinals fan right there, Ocho.
Loves yeah, I'm Kyler. Sorry he's not as short as Kyler Murray. I apologize. I'm sorry that he's allowed
God,
to ride.
Andre the
he's
Giant
ride,
compared to
he's
Kyler
allowed to ride
Murray.
All the roller coasters yeah. at the amusement park. That's yeah. That's on his scouting report. Compared to Kyler Murray,
yep.
he is yeah, he's allowed to go on the Space Mountain.
713-572-4610. Stinking for Lincoln. Well, that's Lincoln. Lincoln's the coach, not the player. That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this would be a good year, though. I like this. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. Spencer Rattler, the favorite in the clubhouse. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Seth, I've had multiple people point out to me, including my wife who's listening right now, shout out to Amy Pendergast, that Urban Dictionary defines a Southern Jesse.
Yeah.
It's an insult used by those from the North to refer to people from the South, implying that they are cowardly.
No, so, that's dumb. I've never heard that in my life.
Well, I'm just telling you what it says on the internet. And if it's on the internet, it's got to be true.
So that's on Urban Dictionary?
It's on Urban Dictionary.
So that
Dictionary,
might be, is that used in some rap song somewhere or something?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It doesn't say. It doesn't give.
I enjoy Northern versus Southern insults in rap. Because
yeah.
I feel like it's a whole world that I'm just visiting, and I don't quite get like everything about it. But I do enjoy that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Except that I can't, you know, I can't repeat most of it on the radio.
No,
seems
no,
like
yeah.
the yeah
explicit lyrics and whatnot. Yeah,
for shizzle.
That's a hot key. That wasn't Seth saying that. Just to be clear, that's a hot key.
So the I'm thinking of the DMX lyric. It was like a you know a fake up north fella.
Yeah,
like that's the first one that comes to mind.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. If you're just getting up, I would say not a ton of headlines from yesterday. Probably the biggest one locally, if you're just getting up with us here. The Astros are going back to 100% capacity next Tuesday. The Dodgers, that's the next home game. Dodgers for two next week, Padres for three over the weekend, and then the Red Sox come to town. So a pretty fun homestand. Seth, do you think we're going to see nearly full stadiums? Do you think people are going to be slow getting back out there? If you had to handicap, as COVID commissioner of Harris County, if you had to handicap the county's willingness to take advantage of the new, more lax rules, because you don't have to wear masks either, how big do you think these crowds are going to be for the two Dodger games next week?
I think that's going to be completely packed.
Do you?
Especially because, yeah, if there were any doubt, I think Dodgers fans themselves will fill out the margins. But they've already had 22,000, haven't they?
26 at a game over the weekend, yeah.
So, which I'm guessing was capacity of the allowable capacity.
I'm not
sure.
They
were filled. They were filled to the allowable capacity, I would imagine. And so, yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be sold out.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a big deal.
I think
blessedly there probably won't be all that much hubbub about it or controversy because this last week there have been reopenings all over the place, I think that look, you're not. It doesn't make you the vaccine doesn't make you immune from it, but it does give you extremely good odds that you're not going to be so severely ill that you're hospitalized.
Yeah, eventually,
you know?
That's how you got to play it, man. Like,
yeah,
the world's a dangerous place. If you're vaccinated, you know, do what you want. But I'm getting back out there. And by the way, Toyota Center was packed this weekend for UFC. Full house, sold out to the rafters, UFC at Toyota Center this week.
I mean, that probably gives you a pretty good indication mm-hmm. right there. Now, there you're getting a lot of people from outside the city, too, which, you know, that's...
And it's an event that comes once a year as opposed to six in a week, you know.
Yeah.
So there's
it feels like a once-in-a-year event so far, just
it
having...
Does. Well,
just being
the
able
Dodgers...
To have
hey, look, the Dodgers... The two games against the Dodgers is a once-a-year thing, so... So, you know, from that standpoint, yeah, it's baseball. There's 81 of them, but the Dodgers are only coming to town for two out of the 81. So it is a big deal, and we know how we all feel about the Dodgers and how they feel about us, and it'll be fun to get back out there. You know what? If the full stadium, if everybody's so uptight about booing the Astros, hey, Astro fan, get out there and boo the Dodgers. Turnabout is fair play. Eye for an eye. That's what I say. Mm-hmm. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Back to David Culley. David Culley said some things on Saturdays. David Culley basically admitting that this is an expansion team that he's coaching this year. We will have the audio proof, and we'll dig into it next.
Football playing Jesse.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.